Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Bubba and Xander, and what is up, Xander?
Not much, man. We had a great week and an opening week of college football. It was super exciting, one of the better ones that I remember watching. A lot of shakeups in the polls. If we take a look at it right now, top 10, we got Alabama still on top after that monstrous win at USC. We got Clemson at number 2, Florida State at 3, Ohio State at 4, Michigan at 5, and we got Houston, Stanford, Washington, Georgia and Wisconsin rounding out the top 10. Now, Bub, I know we took USC, but I saw we had a real good shot. 3-0 after the first quarter. It seemed like it was going to be a hell of a dogfight. USC just folded like a tent, and Alabama rolled out with their new quarterback. Same old stuff. Unbelievable defense, and they just rolled over USC. I mean, it was an ugly game to watch.
It was Roll Tide, and the tide did roll. Now, there's always moments in every game that change the complexion of the game, and USC was hanging in and playing a pretty damn good game, and then all of a sudden the linebacker, I forget his name, but he decided to step on the guy's crotch and got thrown out of the game, and from that point on, it was like there was nobody else on the field against Alabama. They just threw, not that they would have won or covered either way, but there are always certain moments in every game that just change the complexion, and certainly I can identify that as a spot that simply changed that game at that point. And they had, from that point on, it was like Grant took Richmond. There was nobody else against. There was no defense. There was nobody. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, it was a bad move, and it completely took the air out of the sails. And, like I said, 3-0 after the first quarter, and you lose 52-6. I mean, it was brutal. And, they just couldn't – after Alabama got rolling, they just – USC couldn't stop them. If they had 20 guys on the field. It was ugly. It was brutal. I thought the 12 points were going to be enough to cover, and it looked like after the first quarter we were at least going to have a shot. But, it didn't work out. I think for me, the game of the week was Wisconsin versus LSU. This was a huge win for Wisconsin. You moved up, 17 spots in the power rankings. They're ranked in the top 10 now. An unbelievable game. I think LSU really underestimated Wisconsin. They came in unranked. And the tail of the tape in this one was defense. I mean, both teams played really good on defense, but I think LSU underestimated Wisconsin. And yet again, another year and another problem with the LSU offense. I mean, quarterback did not run at all.
Good, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I said, quarterback play was again an issue. I mean, they put up 14 points. It wasn't enough, and no matter how good their defense played, I mean, you score 14 points, you're not going to win very many weeks.
Well, I think this goes to the problem with Les Miles, and he cannot get an offense together. I mean, ever since basically Jamarcus Russell, he hasn't had a quarterback, and not that he was obviously turned out to be a bust in the pros, but he was certainly good in college. But at the end of the day, you got to score. I don't think they underestimated. I think they just got their ass kicked, and I think that's not to be totally unexpected when you look at the offense they have no offense. I mean, Fournette managed to get 100 and some yards, 130 or 140 yards, but you can't just keep giving the ball to Fournette. This is not you know, you're not playing the weak sisters of the poor. You're playing a Big Ten school that is known for defense. You're playing on the road at Lambeau Field, and you got to have an offense. And without an offense, you're not going to win. I mean, you know, listen, 99% of the games, you hold a team to 14 or 16 points, you're going to win. Well, I guess what? With LSU, they got to hold them to zero because they stink, and they cannot get any offense. And I think that Les Miles is going to go bye-bye this year unless he makes a dramatic turn here pretty quick.
Right, and I think, you know, looking at the whole season now, I think LSU's basically got to run the table to make the college football playoff. And I honestly don't think they have enough firepower to do it. I mean, Leonard Fournette, I think, ended up rushing for about 150 yards. I mean, what more can you ask of a guy? I mean, you know, he's not going to rush for 300 yards every game. And he had a rough first half and picked it up in the second half, but it just wasn't enough because, you know, LSU could just simply not move the ball. Another team that had an unbelievable week was the University of Houston. I mean, the Cougars, after, you know, hanging tight with Oklahoma, they just absolutely dominated the second half. It wasn't even close. I think they could have won by 30. You know, it was about the same outcome. They were really impressive, and like we talked about last week, they were a team that had an outside shot, and now they're ranked inside the top 10, the number 6 overall. You know, does Houston have enough to make the college football playoff, Bob?
I think they do. I think that you've seen, you know, one of the problems with preseason rankings is you really never can tell. But certainly, you know, they beat Florida State to finish off last year. They come out and beat Oklahoma. And no surprise that Oklahoma lost, which you did predict that was a possibility on air last week before the game. And you said that you gave Houston a real shot. And, of course, not only did they beat him, but they drilled him. And, you know, we talk about the great Baker Mayfield and everybody on Oklahoma. But at the end of the day, it was all about Houston, and they just kicked the crap out of them. And it wasn't as close as the final score indicated. And I think that they have a chance to run the table. I mean, they're going to have, from a schedule standpoint, they're going to have a weaker schedule. They're going to need Oklahoma to play very well the rest of the year, because that's how these ridiculous polls work. And the math is that if Oklahoma does well, then it means more to Houston when it comes to the mathematical rankings later.
Right. And, you know, looking at our other two picks, it was a rough week. You know, very disappointing. UCLA down big, and they finally make a comeback. And when they scored that last touchdown, I was praying that they missed the 2-point conversion. You know, we had them plus 3.5. They made it. It was easy. And then overtime was atrocious. I mean, you know, third down, that QB sneak, they made a great stop. And then, you know, the quarterback pulled the ball and literally walked into the end zone. And then UCLA comes back on third down, and a guy dropped the ball wide open. You know, it was a very disappointing loss in a game that, you know, I almost turned off. And then, you know, I see that they start making a comeback. But, I mean, Brett Rosen, I think, needs to play a lot better for this UCLA team. You know, I thought they were another team that had an outside shot. But, I mean, the quarterback play really wasn't there for a, you know, guy coming back as a sophomore who I thought, you know, also had a minor shot at the Heisman. I thought UCLA was going to be pretty high-powered on the offensive side of the ball this year. And, you know, they just didn't get it done against Texas A&M. But you got to give Texas A&M a lot of credit. I mean, they played a great game, and they almost blew it. But, you know, they held on, and it was really disappointing. And, you know, looking at the FSU game, I thought we were in for an 0-3 week. But then I turn it off, and I wake up in the morning, see they ended up winning. I think it was 45-36, something like that. But, I mean, their second half, they absolutely dominated. And this is one of the things we talked about last week was, you know, both lines in the second half came alive. You know, they got their butts whipped in the first half, gave up 6 points in the second half. I mean, Dalvin Cook finally came alive. And Francois, you know, the young quarterback for FSU, really showed a lot, threw for over 400 yards, had a couple touchdowns, and, you know, it was a scary week for FSU, but it was a good win.
It's like Jameis Winston reincarnated. They looked like crap in the first half, and they come back charging in the second half. And, of course, a couple other good games we'll address when we come back from the break. But all in all, an exciting weekend. And, of course, we've got the NFL opening this weekend with baseball. So this is the highlight of any sports fan's dream. Everything's going on at the same time. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba, and we're going to stop by here for a break. Remember, you missed an episode, LibertyTalk.fm will get you The Sporting Edge as well as The Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
Don't finish this last bite. You don't get my soul, do you?
Technically. Welcome back to The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. So, So, Xander, so it was obviously a lot of great games. A lot of big teams went down. Notre Dame got throttled by Charlie Strong's Texas team. And the first time in Charlie Strong's history at Texas, they're ranked. Pretty exciting game. And, you know, it looked like early Notre Dame was going to run away with it. And here comes Texas running back and then ended up beating them. What did you think of that game?
You know, it was an awesome game. I think definitely rivaled LSU, Wisconsin for game of the week. I mean, in double overtime, I think you could probably say that it was the best game of the week. This was a huge win for Texas, a huge win for Charlie Strong. You know, this is the first time Texas has been ranked in the AP Top 25 since he's been there. And, you know, we talked about it year in and year out. You know, we've always thought this guy was a pretty good coach. And, you know, a few years after he got there, now the program is finally starting to turn around, I think, and, you know, being at home, beating a number 10 Notre Dame team that, you know, was pretty damn good, I think, coming into the season. This was an enormous win, especially in double overtime. Big stuff for Charlie Strong in Texas. And, you know, Texas is a team that could also make a run. I mean, week in and week out, these polls are going to be shaken up. And now Texas is sitting pretty right now in 1-0. We'll see what they can do the rest of the season. But, you know, this is a capstone win for them in the first game of the season. So it definitely a win-win for them. You know, hopefully Notre Dame plays the rest of the season well, like you mentioned about Oklahoma. Those are the kind of things that, you know, give you that little spike in the rankings at the end of the season. And I think Notre Dame will play well. I think they're a good team. I just think, you know, Texas is a team that, you know, is also very good. And that's what we see week one. You really don't know. Some teams are ranked, some teams are unranked. You really don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, another team I'm looking at, Clemson versus Auburn. This game was more of a dogfight than I thought it was going to be. You know, Auburn, the past 2 years, I think it's definitely been a disappointment. But, you know, they hung tough with Clemson. They ended up losing 19-13. Deshaun Watson, you know, wasn't great, got the job done. But, you know, Clemson still sits here at number two. And, you know, my question for you, Bob, is are they going to make a repeat to the college playoff, or are they going to fade late in the season?
No, I think they're going to be fine. I think, you know, listen, you know, one of the things about being a champion is you're going to have to find some tough games you got to win. That's the real problem in college football or in any football. You know, the schedule is so short that you lose a game and you could be out. But they managed to win that game. Certainly could have lost it easily, and it should have been, you know, they were 8-point favorite or whatever it was. They certainly should have won easier. But I think that they're only going to get better, and I think that they're going to probably be in a repeat, you know, very much like Alabama. I think it'll come down to some key factors of who else is up there. But I certainly think that they're going to be right there and ready to go. And, you know, we'll see how Florida State develops, you know, when they come in to play, because that would be probably Clemson's toughest game left on the schedule.
Right. And, you know, looking at a couple players from this week that really stood out, the first one for me is DeMarcus Walker of Florida State. Tuned up Ole Miss for 4.5 sacks. Like, you know, like we've been saying, that the lines for this Florida State team are unbelievable. And I think DeMarcus Walker is really the leader of this Florida State defensive line. I mean, 4.5 sacks in one game is pretty good stuff. And I think that's why you saw such a drastic change in the second half. FSU was able to walk all over them, you know, came out with the victory. And another guy that, you know, not only had a great week, but it was really good to see, Nick Chubb, if you remember, returning from an ACL tear that ended his season last year, you know, rushed 32 times for 220 yards and 2 touchdowns in a big Georgia Bulldogs win over North Carolina. This was also another pretty good game. And, you know, Georgia, they finally got rid of Mark Richt. So we'll see where that goes this year. But, I mean, this team is going to be very good, anchored by Nick Chubb. I mean, he is one of the best running backs in the game. I'd probably put him at number two behind Leonard Fournette, but, I mean, had an unbelievable week one. Will probably be sitting in that Heisman selection ceremony. I don't know if he's going to win it, but he's definitely going to have a shot, because he's a great player. And it's great to see a guy like that come back from such a gruesome injury.
Yeah, we hope he's healthy, and we hope he has a good year, because obviously it is tough. And, of course, Mark Richt probably would have lost that game. I mean, North Carolina certainly outplayed him, but couldn't come through in the clinches, and got a lot of bad calls in that game too. I did watch that game, and I got a lot of bad calls from the officiating, but again, that's part of the game. But I thought, you know, when, you know, looking at the week, you know, I thought Tennessee is probably the biggest story of the week. They looked awful and almost lost that game.
I know. I mean, it was a tough one. I mean, won by 7 points again, against, you know, Division I AA team. It was ugly. I'm still on the Tennessee bandwagon. We've been big fans of them on this show for a long time. You know, they're at home against Virginia Tech this week. They're an 11.5-point favorite. You know, I think they are going to take this game. I don't know if they're going to cover the spread, though. I mean, we got that. And believe it or not, when you look at the top 25 this week, this is one of the closest spreads that you could take. I mean, it's ugly. I mean, you got Oklahoma is a 47-point favorite. You got Washington is a 37. Miami's a 24. Ohio State's a 28. Alabama's at 28. I mean, it's kind of a rough week if you're looking inside the top 25 to take a game.
Yeah, no, I think it's, you know, of course, in college, there's a lot of these games that go on because, you know, they set these schedules up and you just never know. And, of course, they don't have a preseason. So this is kind of like, you know, very rarely, but this is a big week we had last week with all the big games coming up. And, of course, this week, you know, we'll see how it plays out. And you got anybody you like this week?
Well, you know, I was looking at TCU. I mean, that game is at 7.5. It's actually, you know, the closest spread I could find in a top 25. You know, I hate giving up that half point, and we'll see where the line goes from here. But, you know, I think they're a better team than Arkansas. I think Brett Bielema has done a pretty damn good job with an Arkansas team that, you know, had notoriously struggled in the SEC for a long time. But I think this is the year of TCU. I think they're going to make a big comeback. Last year, it was a little disappointing after having, you know, an enormous season the year before. I think TCU takes this game pretty handily, and I think they're just going to run up the score and kick the crap out of Arkansas.
Yeah, I would not be surprised. You know, I think you got to look at, you know, at Michigan laying 36, believe it or not. I mean, they really ran it up, and Jim Harbaugh, as we talked about last week, he seems to have this team running on all cylinders now, and I think they're just ready to go out and kick some butt. What do you think of that?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we were talking about, you know, quarterback battles last week, and you know, didn't really know Michigan was going to start, and they come out absolutely on fire. I mean, it wasn't a good game at any point. They almost covered the spread in the first half. You know, 36 points is a lot. It's a lot to give up, especially for a UCF team that I think is better than most mid-major teams. But I do like Michigan this week. I think they're, you know, offensive and defensive side of the ball, I think they're just that much better than UCF. And if they can run up the score early, I mean, that's what makes it really tough for a team to hang in there. And, you know, they can win this game by 50 or 60 points, no problem. So I do like Michigan this week. And, you know, other than that, I can't really say I'm pretty certain on any game. I mean, these spreads are just so big. It's tough to tell.
Yeah, no, it is a tough week. And there's a lot of weeks like this, you know, through the season. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out. And, of course, we've got the kickoff of the NFL this week, you know, and a lot of things going on. What are you thinking? Any surprises you're looking for this week? Do you see anything exciting happening in the NFL?
Well, you know, I think the most exciting part for me is that the games are starting. And, you know, NFL, I think, has been the cornerstone of this show for a long time. You know, a couple teams I'm looking at this week, number one being the Rams. You know, I like them at home versus the Seahawks. I think, you know, this defense is going to be much improved this year. And, you know, I always worry about the offense, but, you know, I think Todd Gurley takes a step forward this year. I mean, he was already one of the best running backs in the game last year. And, you know, we'll see what Case Keenum can do. I know this is going to be a tough matchup, but, you know, I think the Rams are going to get it done. I don't know if they're going to win the game, but I think they cover the spread this week. And I think they're going to have a little bit of a surprising season. I don't know if they're going to compete with the Seahawks season long, just because that offense, I don't see it really doing much. I mean, Jared Goff is an active week one, which is a little bit of a surprise. I think he eventually takes the reins down the stretch, but I think the Rams are going to surprise the Seahawks in week one. I mean, the Seahawks have always had a tough time against the Rams. I don't really know why. They're one of the teams I'm looking at.
It's a defensive scheme, but I know why Goff isn't active, because he doesn't want to be tempted to throw him in because he's not ready to play. You know, unlike Carson Wentz, who's going to be, if his ribs are okay, is going to be given the go ahead. And that was interesting. We didn't figure that, but there's been a lot of changes, including the big trade of Bradford to Minnesota. But we're going to step out here for a break. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba, and we're going to cover it all. We got some more NFL and some baseball. So make sure when you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and get the download of the Sporting Edge as well as the Bubba Show. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We're going to step out here for a break and come and talk some more NFL football right here on the Sporting Edge. We'll be right back after the break.
Mm-hmm. trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And Xander, I know we had a little bit more to cover on the Rams, so go ahead, bud.
Well, we had a little bit of a snafu. I accidentally was looking at week two of the NFL season. I still like the Rams in week two, but I actually had the Rams written down for week one as well. On Monday night, they travel to San Francisco. They are a 2.5-point favorite right now. And, you know, I think this defense is going to suffocate Blaine Gabbert and the 49ers. I'm not very high in the 49ers this year, no matter who they have at quarterback, whether that be Kaepernick or Blaine Gabbert. I think Carlos Hyde is in for another rough year, and this team is just not very good. And I think when they fall behind, they're going to be forced to throw the ball, which is something that Blaine Gabbert has shown that he's not very good at doing. And, you know, I think a major key in this game will play right into the hands of Jeff Fisher, which is playing defense and running the ball until you can't run anymore. You know, I love the Rams -2.5 this week. Another team I'm looking at is the Bengals. They travel to the Jets. They are also a 2.5-point favorite. And I think the Bengals are a dark horse for the Super Bowl this year. I think they have a great shot. The division's going to be tough, I think, with the Steelers. But whether they win the division or make it to the wild card, I think the Bengals are a team to look out for. I think this is the year that Andy Dalton finally overcomes that stigma of not being able to play in the playoffs. I think the Bengals take a playoff game this year, if not more. And I like them in week one versus the Jets.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you have it there. So, you know, I think that you got to look some interesting spreads here. You know, I think that, you know, the Vikings -2 at the Titans, I think that's pretty interesting. Especially with, we're really not sure, and they're not sure yet who's going to start that game. You know, certainly if a Sean Hill is there, I could not see them as a 2-point favorite. What about you?
No, this game, I don't really love anybody. If I was going to take anybody, I'd probably take the Titans. I mean, I don't think Sam Bradford is going to start this week. I think it's too early for him. Playbook-wise, you know, I think he's much better than Sean Hill, but, you know, if you don't really know the playbook, it's kind of hard to throw somebody in there. And the Titans, you know, their team, they might come out and put up 40 points week one. I know the Vikings defense is supposed to be pretty good, but I think Mariota, Henry, DeMarco Murray, you know, Green Beckham, I think it's going to be an exciting week. And I think this season for the Titans, well, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they, you know, they have an outside shot, and I think they're going to have an exciting year. Marcus Mariota year two. We'll see how he progresses. I mean, this is always a big year for quarterbacks, the second year. And I think he just keeps getting better. I mean, he's that type of player. Him along with Jameis Winston, I think they're both going to do big things this year, you know, fantasy-wise and regular season-wise. And, you know, they're two guys I'm looking at this year that I would love to have on my fantasy team, you know, in a two-quarterback league. I mean, one quarterback, you got your Aaron Rodgers, your Carson Palmers, those kind of guys. But, I mean, I think those other two guys are going to have big years.
You know, I do agree with you, and I think that that looks good. And I want to get your take on Sam Bradford. I think he's going to have a big year this year. I think he's going to finally be in Now, that's provided he stays healthy, which has always been a problem. But I think this is going to be the best team he's had since he's been in the league. And this is going to give him the best shot. And he's you know, back with a fellow Oklahoman in AP. What do you think? You think Bradford has a good year this year?
I think he has a really solid year. I mean, the only thing that's holding me back from saying that he's going to have a big year is how good Adrian Peterson is. I mean, this Vikings team is going to rely really heavily on AP. I think they were with even with Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, Bridgewater is a great quarterback, but I think they were going to pound AP basically into the dirt. I mean, the guy has shown that he's probably one the most durable player in the NFL. And coming back from that ACL tear a couple years ago, I mean, the guy is a physical freak. I think we'll have a big year on the ground, but when you look at the weapons that the Vikings have, I mean, Kyle Rudolph, Laquon Treadwell, Stephon Diggs, who I think a lot of people are not as high as they should be on this guy. I think Stephon Diggs will end up the year as the number one wideout for the Vikings stats-wise. I think, he did a lot of great things last year, and if they let Sam Bradford fling the ball around a little bit, I mean, the guy has the arm. I mean, he's just never really been in the right situation, and whether it was the Rams and Jeff Fisher, whether it was the Eagles with Chip Kelly, it's never really worked out. And this is probably the best thing that could ever happen to Sam Bradford, getting dealt to a playoff contender. And looking back, if we go 16 weeks from now, could be the guy that saves the Viking season possibly.
And what did you think about Sanchez being cut and then being picked up by Dallas?
I was a little bit surprised. He didn't even suit up for one game for the Broncos. I don't know, I don't know really why they cut him. They must have a lot of confidence in Trevor Siemian, because I think Paxton Lynch is the quarterback of the future. But Trevor Siemian is only his second year in the league, so it's not like he's really been battle tested. But I wasn't impressed. I've seen him play a little bit. I haven't been very impressed. But like we talked about, defense is the key. But if they're not getting good quarterback play all year long, it's going to put a lot of extra pressure on that defense. And, for a 3 or 4 game stretch in the playoffs, you can lean heavily on them. But, if they're going to get really subpar quarterback play the whole year and then be forced to throw the ball, it could be a tough year for the Broncos. But, obviously I'm not going to count them out. I think Paxton Lynch eventually takes over, and we'll see what he can do. I mean, Brock Osweiler stepped in and did a fantastic job for the Broncos last year and landed himself a big deal with the Texans. So, this year I think the Broncos are one of my question marks. I just really don't know what kind of play they're going to get at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting how Dak Prescott performs. And, of course, when you look at the league, the Bears cut Robbie Gould. What do you think of that?
It was a sad day. I think it needed to happen. Robbie Gould has kind of slipped the past few years after being, one of the most accurate kickers in league history. It was tough to see him go, but, that's just the business of sports. And, you move on as a team. The Bears, for me this year, if they went 8-8, I'd say it'd probably be a success. I think they're going to get better on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm really excited to see Kevin White play. I mean, missed all last year with a leg injury. I think him alongside Alshon Jeffrey, they're going to be a dynamic duo. And one guy that I'm pretty high on this year is Zach Miller, the tight end for the Bears. I mean, he finally gets to step into the spotlight after Martellus Bennett leaves for New England. And I think this guy, has shown some flashes of brilliance in his career. And I think, being with a guy like Jay Cutler, who's going to sling it around, I mean, the Bears defense is by no means good. So, I mean, Jay Cutler will be slinging the ball around this year. And, he's got a few options. I think Zach Miller has an outside shot at catching 10 touchdowns. I mean, I think he's going to be a big red zone target. I'm not really sure about Jeremy Langford in the backfield. I mean, I think he's a good player, but, we'll see how much usage he gets. I mean, this Bears team, like I just said, I don't think they're going to be great, and they're going to have a lot of opportunities to throw the ball around, and I think Zach Miller fits perfectly into that. And you know what? I don't think Alshon Jeffrey is going to have a great year this year. I think Kevin White and Zach Miller are going to take away a lot of spotlight from him. I think he's a great young player and is going to have a great career in this league, but he's a guy who, I think you could probably label at the end of the year as a bust.
Now, I know you like Eli Manning, and I know you like Odell Beckham, and of course they added Smith this year, Sterling Smith to the mix, and obviously has some good cred from college. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I really like the Giants, and I like them week one, at the Cowboys. I think the Giants are going to win this division. The Redskins won it last year, and I think they're going to I think they're going to come in third this year. I think this is going to be a down year for them. I think Dak Prescott is, you know, been one of the most impressive rookies I've seen so far, and I think he's going to be a solid performer this entire year. You know, it's amazing when a guy comes in, you know, really not highly touted, and he's a great college player, but nobody really ever thought, you know, he'd have a true shot at the NFL, and I was one of those guys. But, I mean, the preseason, he really stepped up, and Tony Romo goes down, and he's the guy that they hand the reins to right now. So I think he'll show up. I think he'll show up in week one, but I think this Giants team is poised to have a pretty damn good year. And, you know, Eli Manning's third year and Ben McAdoo's offense has put up the best two-year stretch of his career, and I think he's a guy who's going to throw 30 touchdowns again. I think the Giants are going to take the NFC East, and, you know, who knows? Maybe they make another run at the Super Bowl.
And, of course, the Chargers finally inked Joey Bosa. You know, we talked about him last week, and what a piece of crap I thought he was. And now he's in. What's your thoughts?
It doesn't really change. I think the Chargers are going to finish third or fourth, most likely fourth in this division. They're just not very good, not ready to win. You know, I love Philip Rivers. You know, he's been one of the most solid performers, I think. You know, you look at the past 15 years in the NFL, you know, Philip Rivers, Frank Gore, I mean, those are sometimes the only two things that are left standing at the end of the day. But this Chargers team just doesn't have enough. I think Kansas City is going to take this division. And, you know, you never know about the Raiders. I mean, they got a lot better last year. They should get better this year. But, you know, sometimes teams take a step forward and take two steps back. So the Raiders are another one of my question marks. But I think KC has another solid regular season. And I think they take this division. And I think the Broncos come in second.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the Broncos are going to be interesting. We'll see if their defense can hold, if it can be as good as last year. I mean, obviously New England will be interesting. I think the biggest story this year will be Andrew Luck, if he can come back and play. But we'll get to that next week, because we'll be back after the break, and we've got to cover the heating up pennant races, which are getting wild right now. And a lot of things are happening, and including Giancarlo Stanton coming back to Miami. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to step out here for a break. Right, remember, you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm gets you not only The Sporting Edge, but The Bubba Show. We'll be right back with more of The Sporting Edge after the break. The Sporting Edge. Welcome back to The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And so, Xander, we've got baseball heating up as football has just started, and now baseball is starting to cook, and we're getting down there. And, of course, we know the Cubs are just blowing it away, and, you know, an unbelievable record. They're going to probably win probably 105 games this year, if not more. I mean, just really an incredible run for the Cubs, and hopefully they can carry this through. But we do have a lot of the races starting to heat up, and you know, right now the you know, Toronto and Boston are virtually locked together, and of course Baltimore's hanging in there. But you know, as you've been saying all year, and I agree with you, is Baltimore, they just don't have the pitching, and I just can't see them holding up all the way through. And of course your team Houston's coming back, tra-la. What's your thoughts there, Ben?
Well, I mean, this Baltimore team just will not go away. I mean, we've been saying the whole year they don't have any pitching. They're not going to get it done at the end. But here we sit with a month left, and, you know, one game separates them from Toronto and Boston, and they're all just hanging around. I mean, that's basically even the story of the AL East. Nobody has really taken charge. I mean, you know, Boston and Toronto are 77 and 61. I mean, they're not great by any means, but I mean, these teams just keep hanging around, and here come the Yankees. They're only 4.5 back, so, you know, barring a big run from them, you never know. This could be a 4-team race when we sit here next week. But, you know, Houston is making a little bit of a run, but, you know, the Texas Rangers, you know, I think right now they're the second best team in baseball. I mean, you look at their record in one run games this year, it's 30-9, the best record in baseball history in one run games during a season, and I think they're a scary team in the playoffs. I mean, when you get in the playoffs, you need to be able to win the tight game, and that is something that Texas has shown the entire year that they can do, and I think that's what makes them really scary to me.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it or not, as you know, you might remember, but I'm holding a ticket for Texas to win it all from last year. So I think they're really good, but I think Houston is coming, and of course Seattle fell off the map. And you know what we need to do is talk about it. And I almost forgot for a minute, but you know, what do you think? Did you see that shot on Matt Shoemaker, that blind drive he took off the head?
I did. It was probably one of the scariest things I've ever seen, you know, in sports. I mean, especially you see guys get popped in the head every once in a while, but this one was especially bad. I mean, the guy, you know, was rushed to the hospital. You had to, you know, emergency surgery a couple days later. Really sad to see that happen. I mean, they clocked that ball at 105 miles an hour, and you know, anybody who's ever gotten hit by a pitch in baseball or something, I mean, it doesn't feel good, but you know, 105, it was atrocious, and I feel really bad for Matt Shoemaker because he's really had a fantastic year. I think, you know, after starting off rough,
after going to the minors and coming back up, I think he had a great year, and of course he was one of my pitchers, but it was very shocking, and it's amazing. That doesn't happen more often. I mean, the way that ball came back. But, of course, the Mariners are out. The Angels are out, obviously, in Oakland. And now what about the Tigers? Tigers got any shot here? I mean, they're a couple of games back. But what do you think?
I think they got a shot, but I don't think they're going to pull it off. I think five games is too much. I think this Cleveland team has been solid. I mean, the whole second half, after they got Andrew Miller, they basically, you know, didn't skip a beat. They haven't been great. This Tigers team has really shown me a lot. I mean, you know, coming back, I remember the start of the year, it looked like it was going to be another typical Detroit Tigers finishing third or fourth and have all this money sitting on the bench that they weren't going to use. But, you know, J.D. Martinez, I think him coming back to the Tigers really spiked this team. I mean, I think he's an outside shot. I don't think he's going to win. But, you know, for MVP, you look at his numbers, you know, hitting .320 for the year, 22 bombs after missing all that time. He has really been a catalyst for this team, you know, because they still got guys who can swing it. I mean, Miguel Cabrera, Victor Martinez, I mean, those guys are old, but they get it done year in and year out. I just don't think Detroit has enough to win this division, but they're one game back in the wild card. And if you look at the AL wild card, you know, we got Baltimore, Detroit, one game back. Houston is two games back. The Yankees are 3.5. And, you know, this is going to go down to the wire. I mean, one of these teams, I think that two or three games back is going to make a big run, and we'll see who ends up winning the division. But a team like, you know, Boston, Toronto, or Baltimore, if they faltered on the stretch, they could go from division leader to out of the wild card race. So, I mean, I'm really excited to watch that. And we look at the NL, you got San Francisco and St. Louis on top. And, you know, San Francisco is now almost five games back in the NL West. I think the Dodgers take it now. I mean, that's my final prediction. I'm going to stick to it. We got a month left. They've been playing, you know, the best baseball they have all year, and Clayton Kershaw still isn't even on the mound. So, I mean, I got to give a lot of credit to Corey Seager. I think he's a guy who's got an outside shot of MVP. You know, it's really been the biggest part of this team and the reason why they're successful. I mean, you look at the entire season and the whole body of work. After losing Kershaw and being back in the division, I mean, it's unbelievable. I think the Dodgers, you know, when you look back at the season, they're going to be one of the biggest surprises.
They're getting some unbelievable stuff. And, of course, Kershaw pitched yesterday and pitched well for a guy who's been on. And, of course, he blew away the A-ball guys. And, you know, if he can hold up. I mean, can you imagine now they've been able to turn their season around by 20 games without him? And now, arguably, he is still, you know, again, we have to see how he reforms and how he recovers, but arguably the best pitcher in baseball. And San Francisco Giants are like flailing. They're like a guy drowning in the water. They just can't get out of their own way. And here come the Mets. Okay. The Mutts are playing good baseball again, but it's amazing how they've even managed to maintain. Now they've lost to Grom. So they've got nobody pitching. But, of course, good old Bartolo Colon at 43 years old, 13-7. I mean, what the heck's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we said this a bunch of times. The only problem that the Mets have had this year is that they ran into some injury trouble, and they have had some of the worst luck I've ever seen. I mean, Matt Harvey, Steven Matz, and now Jacob deGrom. I mean, I would say this is a lost season, but, you know, if they sneak into the playoffs, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, that's the great thing about baseball is that, you know, in a short series, in a five-game series, they could win one. Seven games is a little tougher. I mean, I think that definitely favors the better team because, you know, you can go out there for seven games. It's not like the NFL playoffs where you get one game, and if you have a dud, you're done. I mean, they're a team that's scary, not as scary as they used to be because all those guys are injured, but, you know, basically, every team that can sneak into the playoffs, I mean, you give a team a little bit of life. It's always tough. But, you know, one guy I wanted to talk about who I think is going to bring home the AL MVP this year is Jose Altuve. I mean, the guy is still hitting .345, 22 homers, 27 stolen bases. It's slowly developing, I think, behind Mike Trout and maybe Manny Machado as one of the best players in the game. And he's been fun to watch this year.
Oh, no, he's unbelievable. I mean, you know, when you look at him, he's a little guy and powers the ball out and does a great job. And, you know, certainly he should be in serious consideration for the MVP. You know, I did want to go back to Miami, though, for a minute. You know, Miami made a big run. They were right there, and they fell apart. And then, of course, on Tuesday, they activated Giancarlo Stanton. Can they make up the five or six games, or are they just dead?
I don't think they're dead, but I at the same time, I don't think they're going to make up the five or six games. This was pretty surprising to see, you know, Stanton come back. A lot of people thought he was going to be lost for the season, and it seemed like he's going to, you know, kind of step into a pinch hitter type role for the rest of the year. But I don't think this Marlins team has enough firepower. I thought if they were going to make a run, it needed to be like a month ago, so they were sitting on top of the wild card right now. So I'm counting the Marlins out for this year.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, again, I think it's interesting that Stanton did come back. I mean, you know, he could have just checked it out and said, hey, enough, and didn't want to come back. But I give him credit for trying to come back. And just as we end, you know, come towards the end here, I just want to talk about one last thing, and that's Tampa Bay fires their hitting coach. Now, I mean, it's September. They're in last place. Why do they have to fire him now? I mean, why couldn't they wait till the end of the year?
You know what? Bad teams always find a way to make a fall guy, to make it seem like there's something wrong other than with the crap that they put on the field. I think this is a classic case with Tampa Bay. I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's September. You know, the team hasn't been playing well all year, and now you're going to fire the hitting coach. I mean, why not just wait another few weeks? I mean, the season will be over for them in 3 weeks.
And, I mean, you know, he's got, let's see, Longoria's having one of his best seasons, and all of a sudden Logan Forsythe out of nowhere comes up. But you know what? That's sports. This is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba, and of course, we always enjoy being here, and it is action galore. The newsroom that never sleeps will be covering football, baseball, everything. Anyways, everybody have a great weekend. Remember, when you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm will get you a download of the Sporting Edge as well as the Bubba Show. In the meantime, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the games. NFL opens up. We'll see you back here next weekend. The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. Have a great weekend, everybody. Goodbye.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.